Hi, and welcome to this episode. I hope that your teaching year is going well. Today I want to share some ideas about teaching adult students. Now, the definition of an adult student can be quite broad and range from students in their late teens, to university students, to older adults and seniors. It's the older adults and seniors that I want to talk about today. Some of the most enjoyable and rewarding teaching experiences I have had over the years have been when working with these students. The older adult students I've taught privately outside my university teaching, and the strengths and challenges they bring to their lessons. I've always felt that my teaching was enriched when I had the opportunity to work with older adults in the community. Now, they were taking lessons for a variety of reasons. For some, it was for sheer enrichment and enjoyment. Others had wanted lessons when they were children, but for a variety of reasons, that was not possible. So now was their opportunity, and they were absolute beginners. Perhaps their children had started taking lessons, and the parent wanted to learn as well. For some, their life circumstances had changed, retirement and more free time to pursue a new hobby, a new interest. For others, they were going through a difficult life experience, the death of a spouse, recovery from a serious illness, and piano lessons took on an important educational and therapeutic role in their lives. I had some students who had quit their piano lessons as teenagers, regretted it later, and wanted to get back to the piano. But the majority of adult students I taught privately did not want the full curriculum of repertoire, technique, etc., as if you were preparing for an exam. All were different and had slightly different goals, and we developed a slightly different plan of action for each. But with all of them, there was a desire to explore and experience the enrichment music can bring to their lives. It was for the pleasure of learning to play, the beauty of music, and their hope that it would be a rewarding journey. There's a book that I would highly recommend. It's by Noah Adams, and it's entitled Piano Lessons, Music, Love, and True Adventure. At the time of the book's publication in 1997, Adams had a long-standing career with National Public Radio in the United States and was the host of a radio show called All Things Considered. He loved music. When he was in his early 50s, Noah Adams decided to learn to play the piano. So he takes a big step of purchasing a Steinway upright piano. He even enrolls in a piano camp, and he begins an adventure of learning to play. And he chronicles 1 year of learning to play the piano as an adult beginner. I enjoyed the book thoroughly as it described this one-year journey from the perspective of an adult student. His thoughts, his thought processes, the challenges, the triumphs. Very early in the book he says, and I quote, "When you can't play the piano, you think, yes, well, maybe you could learn to play one fairly complicated song pretty well." And as I said, so he purchases a Steinway upright and begins his journey. It's a very good read. So when you meet with a potential adult student, it's very important to get a sense of the reasons for wanting piano lessons. What are their goals? Find out what the desired journey is and make a plan to proceed from there. But I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about just three of the very different adult students I taught privately, and I remember them very well. The first one, I'll call him John. John was an administrator in the public education system. He was in his early 40s. He had a strong background in education and administration, but none whatsoever in piano, an absolute beginner. His three children were taking lessons in my wife's studio, and he decided he would like to learn as well. His goal was to continue learning throughout life in all sorts of areas, and he also wanted to work at the piano just like his kids. He said he just wanted to be able to read a simple musical score, understand how music notation worked, and to use his words, he wanted to play a bit. Now, there were some significant challenges when working with John. First of all, up to this point, any type of recreation or hobby he had in his life required lots of muscle power. He was doing a major renovation at his house, lots of sawing and lifting and hammering. He spent a lot of time kayaking, canoeing, and he was an intense hockey player. So at the piano, he brought enormous amounts of physical tension, tight muscles. So it was interesting watching him and trying to shape and refine his approach to the instrument. Playing the piano for John was a physical, muscular activity. He approached the piano as if he was operating some large piece of external machinery, and he did so with some pretty significant muscle tension and force. Now, apart from the physical tension, the fact that he was an administrator, a manager, a boss, and I gather a tough boss, he was used to giving instructions, supervising other people, and setting policies. He could be stubborn and resistant at times. However, I enjoyed working with him very much, so for John, his children were taking lessons. He wanted to learn basics and play a bit, and he did. Another student I'll call Mary. Mary was in her mid-60s when she started taking lessons as a beginner, so more senior. And this was a student I taught very early in my career in the late 1980s. She had recently retired and had always wanted to take piano lessons, but for a variety of reasons, lessons were not possible when she was a child. Mary had grown up in London, England, and had moved to Canada with her Canadian husband, who had been stationed in London during the war. She had a passion for classical music and had been an avid concert goer in London, starting way back in her teens. She worked as an usher and was able to attend concerts free of charge, and as a result, she heard many of the world's greatest performers. For example, she often talked about the fact that she had attended those famous lunchtime concerts given and arranged by Myra Hess during the London Blitz of the Second World War. So Mary had a tremendous amount of knowledge from her vivid memories of concerts and performers. She had kept many of the concert programs and loved to read and reread the program notes, as one of her favorite pastimes was studying music history and learning about the lives of great performers. So when it came to the piano, even though she was a beginner, she brought with her a lot of general and specific musical knowledge. I scheduled her lesson at the end of the teaching day because it was so easy to get sidetracked and talk about her experiences that I found so interesting. So she would often stay for a cup of tea and we would have those conversations then. Mary had some problems with arthritis, particularly in her left hand. She wanted to learn to play easy repertoire and easy arrangements of her favorite classical music. I remember one of her favorites in the method book was the simple arrangement of the beautiful slow movement of Dvorak's New World Symphony. Her face would light up when she played it, and she made good progress. And the third student I'll tell you about, I'll call her Joan. She was in her late 30s when I started teaching her. Her two children were also taking lessons in my wife's studio, and Joan had taken lessons as a child and had reached a grade 6 level in piano at the age of 14. She was planning to take the grade 6 piano exam at that point. So at the age of 14, before her piano exam, she entered the local music festival, playing her grade 6 repertoire in the various festival classes. Unfortunately, she experienced a very nasty adjudicator. She was devastated by his manner and his terrible written comments. She told me that after her final class in the festival that week, she went home, put the music books on the piano bench, and didn't look at them again for 20 years. So, as I said in my episode on music festivals and competitions, adjudicators, beware, be professional, be kind, because your words and comments are so powerful and have a lasting impact on the students you are hearing. You know, over the years, I can think of several university students I've taught who had similar traumatic experiences when they were in their early teens, and the devastating effects adjudicators or examiners have had on the confidence and musical development of these students. But getting back to Joan, she quit at the age of 14, and fast forward 20 years, and she's hearing her children grow and develop musically, and so she begins to get the urge to return to the piano. In her first lesson, it was clear to me, very clear, that she was musical, intuitive, sensitive, had a great ear for color and shaping, and was very focused. She had a real connection with the instrument. It was funny because up until that point, I knew her as a parent of her two children I saw coming every week for their piano lessons. I had no idea that she could play the piano that well, but what I heard her do in the lessons was impressive. particularly for someone who had not practiced seriously or played very much for many years. So Joan's main issue was self-confidence. Because at the age of 14, playing the piano was the most important thing for her, and that confidence had been shattered by the adjudicator. And so we began working and selecting grade 6 repertoire. We looked at the syllabus and we went outside the conservatory repertoire book and found pieces that she absolutely loved. But it was interesting when you talk about how negative comments can impact a person. I thought, well, why don't we stick with the Bach she had played back then, the Liszt A piece. So I thought, well, we'll keep the Bach prelude, but we'll find pieces for all the other, different pieces, new pieces for all the other Liszts. So we started working on the Bach prelude, but the negative emotions associated with it due to that festival experience many, many years earlier, she was so negative about preparing the piece. She was defeatist in her attitude, where she felt there's no way she'd ever be able to play it. So after about 2 or 3 weeks of working on the Bach in the lessons, we just decided, let's just abandon the Bach and find a different Liszt A piece, which we did, and she went on from there. She loved the music. Now, because of the confidence issue, I used quick studies a lot with her, finding pieces easier than the grade 6 level that she worked on completely on her own, and it helped restore her confidence, build a repertoire of easier pieces that she could learn quickly and perform for family and friends, and it got her playing back in shape more quickly. I convinced her to perform in a studio recital, and she did so very well. So I felt it was a triumph for her after many, many years. So these are different examples of adult students I have taught over the years, taking lessons for different reasons, different backgrounds, different strengths and challenges. But for all of them, it was a pleasure and a privilege to teach them. Well, as I've already said, there are exciting positive aspects and challenges when working with adults. Some of the positives, there are many in terms of their cognitive abilities. They've acquired a lot of knowledge and they have a lot of life experience. They have an attention span and they can work well independently, work efficiently. One aspect that I especially liked when teaching adults is the amount of verbal interaction that happens in the lesson. I found it very engaging and stimulating. They are comfortable talking, interacting, and especially asking questions if they don't understand something. They have a desire to understand the concepts, etc., and to enjoy this discovery process. They also enjoy learning other pertinent or related information. So I found teaching adults easier to make an interactive process, something that I believe is so essential for teaching. Well, there are some challenges, cognitive challenges, that can result because of their more mature age and life experiences. Often adult students prefer to spend more time defining and talking their way through a lesson and doing as little playing or especially as little attempting as possible. They can easily get distracted or deflect to a related topic. One thing I think that's important to remember for this aspect of working with adults is to try to keep the lessons filled with as much experiential learning as possible, either at the piano or even away from the piano. And what is experiential learning? Well, experiential learning can be defined as a learning process where students learn by doing, and then reflect on what they did. And the same thing was said in a different way by the wonderful teacher Frances Clark. And she would encourage teachers she was training to use an approach where the experience precedes the definition. You experience it first, and the experiencing it comes before defining it. It's the same idea, experiential learning. And that applies to students of all ages, and I think is especially useful when teaching adults. So, for example, when I learned how to play a two-note slur, we immediately looked at the music and how it was notated when I was a student. But what if we did something else? So if you were to take an experiential learning approach to that, so if you're introducing a student, an adult student, to a two-note slur, leave how it looks on the score out of the picture completely at first. So we all know that there's a choreography involved with playing a two-note slur, the choreography of dropping with the correct finger on the first note, transferring the weight to another finger and lifting gently off the keyboard on that second note in order to create the musical effect of the slur. Dropping into the first note, lifting and softer on the second note. So instead of taking the student immediately to the score, as I said, and looking at an example, demonstrate a slur at the piano, doing it over and over, several times, slowly. Have the student describe to you what you are doing, how it looks, and how it sounds. Then perhaps away from the piano, on top of your desk, demonstrate the motions, the choreography, or put the lid down on the piano. Have the student try it and refine it. It can be away from the piano at first, which can be very useful. Then have the student try it at the piano. So say dropping into the A above middle C with your fourth finger and going to the F above middle C with your second finger, dropping and lifting. And explaining to the adult student, this is a very common expressive element in music. You will see it time and time and time again. So if they rehearse it and gradually refine the movements, they can do it, they can feel it, they can hear it. Now look at the score and show them how it's notated. This is how it looks in music notation. This is a two-note slur. So experiencing it comes before defining it and identifying it in music notation. And you can use the same approach with many different concepts in music, whether you're feeling a specific rhythm or the pulse before actually seeing it on the page. So that's one, I think, important suggestion, to fill the lesson with as many experiences like that as possible. And of course, with adults, try to avoid excessive talking and try to stay on the topic. As I mentioned earlier with Mary, who had all those wonderful life experiences growing up in London, I could spend hours talking with her. So I scheduled her lesson at the end of the day, as I said, and spent many hours with her talking about her experiences. But the more actual playing and experiential learning that takes place in the lesson, the easier it is to stay on topic. Other things I found useful for adult beginners, learning some simple pieces by rote can do wonders for laying the foundation for a good physical approach to the piano. Or some simple improvisations using the black keys, the pentatonic scale. Maybe even with the teacher providing a duet accompaniment, can start building a connection to the instrument and encourage creativity. Learning the melody of a favorite song or adding simple primary chords. The sensation and joy of actually playing the instrument. And for Mary, who suffered from arthritis, particularly in her left hand, simple arrangements of well-known classical music with chording in the left hand worked well, in addition to working our way through the method book. In the case of John, with all the physical tension, rote pieces also helped him get away from the complication of looking at a page and think about how his body was feeling and to try to relax and reduce the tension. And I'm going to talk about him specifically in a couple of minutes. Because the physical tension issue brings us to the topic of adult beginners and motor skills. Now, the good news is that as adults, they have a whole repertoire of motor skills that can be applied to the piano that they've developed and learned over the years and throughout their life. Because piano playing, as we know, involves using many of the fine motor skills, the fingers, the thumbs, the wrists, the forearms, the arms, and adult students can have an advantage here. The ability to move their fingers from the knuckle joint, forearm rotation, all the different body movements that are required for piano playing. And another piece of good news for adult beginners is that the size of the piano fits the student. We all know that this can be a problem with very young children, and they often require a footstool and sometimes a mechanism to help them use the pedal. Pianos don't come in different sizes like violins, for example, so for young children this can be a problem, but an adult should be able to sit comfortably at the instrument and it can feel comfortable relatively quickly. Adults also have a decent size hand. Even an adult with a small hand is well equipped to work through an adult beginner method series. But there can also be challenges in terms of their physical approach to the piano and their motor skills. I talked about their cognitive abilities earlier. And so they often want quick results, especially adult beginners. They can grasp the concepts, they understand what they're learning, but they are still beginners at that instrument, and they often feel that they should be moving at a quicker pace in terms of the actual playing and playing the repertoire. They also realize that what they're studying in their lessons is very basic material, and they feel they should be moving faster. So sometimes they get frustrated. So that's why I think it's important to have lots of pieces to play and explore. So multiple short pieces to reinforce the concepts they are learning. Sometimes the adult will have years of bad habits or tensions, like my student John, tensions that are difficult to change. Well, how do we deal with that with the adult student? Some suggestions I've found, things I've found useful. It's very important to emphasize good principles of piano technique, of posture, of hand position, relaxation, regularly throughout the lesson. Spending weekly lesson time on technical exercises that do not require note reading, both at the keyboard and away from the keyboard. You know, one of my teachers was French pianist Cécile Houssay. She was a child prodigy and went to the Paris Conservatory when she was 10 years old to study with Marcel Ciampi. She told me once that as a child, as a 10-year-old, often half her lesson was spent away from the piano, working on and refining the various movements necessary for playing, moving the fingers, moving the forearm as if you're going up and down the keyboard, dropping from the shoulders, all sorts of exercises away from the keyboard. In one of my earlier episodes, I paid tribute to my children's violin and cello teacher, who passed away almost exactly a year ago at the age of 105. One of the things I remember most about attending lessons with the children was how she stressed in a very gentle way, right from the beginning, the importance of good posture, good hand position, bow hold, etc. It happened at the beginning of every lesson when they were getting set up to play, and there were always gentle reminders throughout the lesson. What struck me was that the children got such incredible training and a great foundation for all future playing, and they never once got frustrated with it. And what was especially noticeable was when they were going through the boys were going through their teenage years, and you have a growth spurt where suddenly it feels like the violin doesn't fit anymore, and you have to make all these adjustments and readjust on the fingerboard, they were able to do it, and it didn't frustrate them. And the way she was able to do it in such a gentle way was quite a lesson for me, and I think this sort of thing is equally important in piano playing. Teaching and gently reinforcing posture, hand position, making the little adjustments as you go along, all of that is critical to laying a foundation for playing and being comfortable at the instrument. What I found with my adult students is that some of them, who weren't seniors and weren't retired, came to the lesson often feeling tired. They had a busy schedule. Some of them would have trouble concentrating. So sometimes I would start the lesson with a warm-up, away from the piano, letting their arms relax, hanging by their side, just shake everything out, feel it loose. Now lifting your forearms up with your palms facing the floor as if you're playing the piano. And I would have the student check and look at their hand position and flexible wrist, try forearm rotation, relax their arms again, get that feeling away from the instrument, a physical awareness and control of the parts of the body used in playing the piano. And then I would go get set up at the piano thinking about the same principles. Another good simple warm-up exercise, if they hadn't had a chance to warm up, is to practice gently opening and closing your hand, keeping your thumb on the outside of your hand. And it's a great way to warm up if you're ever in a situation where you don't have access to a piano and you need to warm up. So your fingers, your four fingers are moving from the knuckle joint and your thumb is staying outside your fingers when your hand is closed. So those are just some things to think about with posture and position and so on at the keyboard. But getting back to my student John, I had to try to address excessive muscular tension. I think one of the main reasons I remember him after all these years is that he was the most extreme case of this I've ever had to deal with in a student. So I had to spend time with him every lesson, working to gradually retrain his body to recognize the difference between tension and relaxation. He was so accustomed to muscle tension that that's what felt normal to him. His administrative job was stressful, and stress can cause physical tension. And I already mentioned his love of renovating, you know, hammering, lifting, sawing, and intense sports. So what I did with him was some progressive relaxation exercises that I have found very useful over the years with students who have particular tension issues. And a progressive relaxation exercise is a two-step process to help a person recognize the difference between tension and relaxation. So one exercise, for example, is have the student, or you try it, raise your shoulders as high as possible, almost as if your shoulders are touching your ears. Push up, tense up your shoulders very tight and your upper back, hold it for a few seconds, and then completely release it so that it's totally relaxed. And repeat this about 5 times. And compare the feelings of the raised, tense shoulders and back with the relaxed. And you do that on a regular basis. Another one is to make a tight fist and tighten up your forearm and hold it for about 10 seconds. And then just let it go, release it. What I've found over the years is that if you do that regularly in a student's weekly lesson, gradually over time, the students will learn to recognize the difference between the tense, the physical tense state, and the more relaxed state that's so important for playing the piano with freedom. So I did a lot of that with John, and I really saw we really made great progress. But it was every week in the lesson and making sure that he did it as part of his practice routine at home. It's important with busy adults, I think, to take breaks in the lessons, to vary the material and present new material in small doses. I would often take a break, listen to a recording, and talk about the performance, or I had some students who loved music theory, and we would change it up, and halfway through the one-hour lesson, we'd spend maybe 15 minutes doing some theory. So our adult students are making a personal commitment, financial and time commitment to their lessons. They have experiences with setting goals and can be very productive. They don't mind expressing their opinions and asking questions and can be easier to teach or interact with in this regard. And as I said, they're usually interested in the related material and they bring all these strengths to their lessons and they bring the complexities to their lessons. But as I said, they can sometimes have unrealistic expectations. They can be self-conscious and they often dislike attempting things. They don't like trial and error in the lesson in front of the teacher and the stress that it can cause. Some of them have a fear of failure and they can get frustrated. They can have preconceived notions about their abilities because of other life experiences. And they can be very strong-willed. So I think overall it's important to develop a spirit of a partnership, a collaboration, and a spirit of cooperation. So offering choices in repertoire, weekly assignments, and to give lots of encouragement. Respecting the adult students' concerns and their opinions and their judgments. As mentioned earlier, it's important to offer material in small enough portions, what I call bite-sized pieces, appropriate to that student, because I think it's so important to provide as many opportunities for little successes, small victories in every lesson. And especially important for the teacher to remember that what seems like a small success to you could very well feel like a big deal to the adult student. Because it's interesting because you're sitting in your studio and you're looking at a mature adult sitting at the piano. If you're used to teaching mostly children or younger students, so you're teaching a grown adult some very basic things and they accomplish something to you that is very rudimentary. But to them, as I said, it's a big deal. So you have to note and mention those successes. You know, when you've worked on posture a lot, before the student leaves the lesson, review and confirm those successes. And it could be, you know, wow, your hand position, has it ever improved? Or tonight I could hear that you were listening so much better in your soft playing. There are some really exciting resources available now. Compared to when I started teaching decades ago, there was no internet. But for teachers today, there are so many online resources available, it's remarkable. So when you think about the aspects and concerns of adults that I've mentioned, I strongly feel that in the teacher-studio collaborative approach, that partnership, it is really important to promote a non-perfectionist attitude. In some of my earlier episodes, I've mentioned the work of Dr. William Westney and his outstanding career and the work he has done in what he calls his un-masterclass approach. William Westney and the un-masterclass. Have students explore this information online. My experience has been that university students, adult students, they love it. They love reading about it. They love watching the videos of how he works with students. And I think any adult student would enjoy exploring and applying this information and the research and the resources on that website. Because as pianists, we must give ourselves permission to make mistakes, and especially our students need that permission. So we have to tell the adult students they have permission to make mistakes. Another thing I can think of that I found very useful with my adult students was using duet playing as much as possible in the lessons. What I like about many of the adult piano methods nowadays, compared to when I started, is that many of them have teacher duet accompaniments for a lot of the repertoire in the books. The adult students I've taught love this, the opportunity to play together, to hear and enjoy the fuller, more orchestral sound of a piano duet. It changed the pace of the lessons. It gave them something to look forward to, and I found that the students worked hard to get the piece to the level where it was ready to try it in the lesson as a duet. And especially, it's a great way to develop a sense of rhythm in the student. In his book, Basic Principles of Pianoforte Playing, the great pianist Joseph Levine said, and I quote, "It's very hard to teach rhythm. It must be felt. It is contagious to a certain extent. Duet playing with a strong, vigorous musical individual is one of the best ways in which to catch rhythm. Rhythm is infectious." End of quote. And as for a final piece of advice, well, I will quote from the Well-Tempered Keyboard Teacher, and I quote, "Probably the single most effective teaching technique in working with adults is to maintain an honest sense of humor. There is nothing as helpful in inducing relaxation, relieving frustration, and fostering realistic self-appraisal than a light word offered at just the right moment. Moreover, humor is contagious and recreates both student and teacher." End of quote. Well, at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned Noah Adams' book, Piano Lessons, Music, Love, and True Adventure. At one point, he had had a conversation with Denise Kahn, a pianist and professor at the Manus School of Music in New York. At the end of the book, Noah Adams asks a final question, and I quote, "The last question, and the best one, is, why do it at all? Why throw the piano into the mix of stuff you're already not getting done?" The answer can be found in a conversation with Denise Kahn back in November. Denise Kahn, talking quietly in her apartment, said, "We can be sitting here and play a phrase, and suddenly there is beauty." End of quote. Over the years, one of the best lessons for me as the teacher when teaching adults was to witness time and time again the power of music. You have an adult student sitting at the piano who learns a very rudimentary thing. For example, how to play one of their favorite melodies or accompany a well-known tune with tonic and dominant seventh chords. And you see the joy on their faces, the power of music, it's real. And yes, to quote Denise Kahn, "We can be sitting here and play a phrase, and suddenly there is beauty." So I hope every day in your studio, with your adults and all of your students, there are those wonderful moments of realizing and experiencing the beauty and power of music. Thank you for listening today. I invite you to follow the links in the podcast description on Buzzsprout to support the show, rate the podcast, and I encourage you to write a review. Visit my website at edmunddaw.com for more information about my work. As I close today, I'm sending my family's thoughts and prayers to my listeners in Ukraine and to all of Ukraine. It is impossible to find the words to express our shock over the horrors and devastation you are experiencing because of the Russian invasion. My family and I are thinking of you. We so admire the resilience of the Ukrainian people and hope that nations around the world continue to unite strongly and do everything possible to end these atrocities. So our thoughts and our prayers and our support are with you. I thank everyone for listening. Bye for now.